Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Monday, November 8, 2010, we have a preview of one of Europe's finest conferences. It's called The Web, and it's starting 1 month from today on December 8th and 9th, 2010 at Les Docks, which I'm pronouncing horribly as Americans do. And with me, I believe, are conference organizers and founders, Loek Lemure and Geraldine Lemure. And let me see, make sure that I'm on the right screen so I can make sure that I have them on. And we'll be talking about what will be discussed at the two-day conference, because it goes by incredibly quickly. See, we have them here. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Here.
Beck.
Hi.
Are you by yourself?
Yeah, I'm by myself, finally. Geraldine is actually preparing the conference right now.
I know. It's quite an event. It takes a long time to put together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's we passed 57 countries a few days ago, so it's going to be very international this year. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
So what new countries will be there? I mean, I said in the intro to the show that I was lucky enough to go last year, and it was something that I found myself talking about all the time. So when I was moderating panels or having discussions with people, especially, I don't know, maybe because I do a lot of international strategy, there were a lot of key things that I kept coming back to. And I'm just curious what this year, I know that you're going back to the one of the original locations for the event, so it'll be at a different venue, and obviously you have a lot of countries participating. What are you noticing as differences in participation from last year compared to this upcoming year?
Well, it's more countries for sure. We have also a lot of so it's broader in Europe. We have a lot of Russians, a lot of Eastern Europe countries, which is new. It's not like the first time, of course, but they are like stronger and stronger. We have also a good contingent from Asia, which I've been working on a bit myself, especially from Japan, and we have amazing speakers from there as well. We have a representative from Mixi, which is the Japanese Facebook, and we also have Tomoko Namba, who is she's the CEO of Dina, which is one of the most well-known and largest gaming company on mobile. Very interesting mix between mobile and gaming in Japan, and she's a very, very big deal in Japan. Like if you say her name, like, people are very impressed that we have her as a speaker, which I'm also very impressed. But so a lot of, let's say it's getting, you know, really into a world event. And for your listeners who don't know, it's really not French. It's it happens to be in Paris. But I think right now we have about 25% of participants who are French. And they're welcome, of course, but just to say it's all in English, and it's very, very, very international, and it's going to be very... this year, I think we have 15-20% US, actually. Very strong also. It's becoming a rendezvous, as we would say in French, of Silicon Valley, but outside of Silicon Valley, it's also becoming a tradition, because I know people plan for it now earlier and earlier, and... We don't. That's why we don't change the dates. We change venue just because we thought it was a little small, the venue last year. But no, it's exciting.
Yeah, I know. Last year, I noticed when I interviewed. He's so great, Ian from. Why am I forgetting the name of his company? So Ian Dodsworth from TweetDeck. And it on the second day, you know, it was kind of interesting because it was my first time at Le Web, and I didn't know what kind of to make of the Silicon Valley, what I call, or what he called actually, a bubble. And he said, no, it's really fun to watch everybody kind of interact, because for me, I have an intern in Paris, and I wanted it to be a much more authentic look at taking this show and this concept of influence and going abroad with it. And so giving my listeners something unique and special. So if I went back to the same old crew that I talked to all the time, I wouldn't have got to spend probably the best 15 minutes of my life actually talking to Martin Varsovsky from Phone. Wooper recently got funding from a VC in the Valley. I spoke with their very young founder, Julien Sornet. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I had been so focused on some of the sort of U.S. components. So I'm really glad to hear that the global component is getting larger and larger, so the footprint of the conference gets larger as well. Loek, are you still there? Well, it's afternoon for Loek, but it's morning for me. So let's see. It looks like he may have just dialed back in. Hang on one second. Loek, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back in.
Okay, very good. You're not using AT&T, are you?
No, I'm using Skype, actually, to call you.
I see. So, I mean, who knew? So it's afternoon for you and morning here. So I don't know who to blame for the Internet difference. But what I was saying was, you know, in terms of, like, consciously making a decision to not be part of the Silicon Valley bubble by not going after sort of typical interviews that you would, that I might have on this show, I think it really broadened at least my experience in terms of talking about the web, some of the pain points. I thought one of the best, potentially one of the best panels, I really wonder, I keep debating this in my own head. There was the panel last year on companies starting in Europe, and you have people like Tariq and Martin Varsovsky and Freddie Mini and many other people that are very, very famous for splitting their time or actually creating businesses in Europe or other parts of the world. And the person that was moderating the panel, whose name I won't say, kept saying, okay, so why don't you just F off on a plane and go to the Valley? I mean, isn't that the end of the story? But it's really not. I mean, if there's venture capital that's raised in all different ways. I mean, for example, I mean, in Australia, a big part of raising capital is actually going early to the stock exchange and not listing late, so that it's almost like the people are a VC. So you learn a little bit about finance if you get, you know, around the world, if you get outside of this sort of U.S. mindset, don't you?
Well, it's a mix of both. You know, the web serves a need for Europe. That's how it started to get more connected to Silicon Valley. And if you look at the speakers, most of the speakers are American. I'm not shy about that. I'm, you know, trying to make the web a world-class event. So if you are following the Silicon Valley scene, I want you to be in the room and not disappointed. So it has to be world-class. And as long as Silicon Valley will lead the world, most of the speakers will be from there. At the same time, the room is extremely international. So it's a very different, you know, it's like we bring Europe to our speakers and, of course, our participants in 2 days. Everybody's in the room. And at the same time, we bring Silicon Valley to Europe for 2 days. So it's two different, you know, like great objectives which are met. But the goal is not to put European scene on stage. Not that I don't want. We have a lot of great speakers from Europe and a lot of also judges this year will judge our startup competition, who are like the stars of Europe. But it's not, I'm not artificially, if you see what I mean, putting European entrepreneurs on stage because it's in Europe. Because if I do that too much, even the Europeans tell me, hey, we don't come to the web to hear the Europeans. We know them. You see what I mean? So that's not the positioning.
I understand. You're kind of between a rock and a hard place, right?
Because
in a sense, part of what happens usually at Loeb, I don't know if it's happening this year, I believe it is, where you have an entrepreneurial startup contest going on in parallel to the conference. So somebody's actually trying to, you know, win a chance at giving a presentation to the room and actually get money by attending the conference. Is that happening again this year?
We don't give money for attending the conference. We
don't
do that.
No, I mean, but the people presenting their idea that win the entrepreneurial challenge, or I forget what it was called last year, but, you know, where they're giving pitches to, I mean, Dave McClure was part of that panel.
Startup competition.
So are you doing a startup competition this year?
Yeah, every year. It's been 5 years. It's been 5 years, and we'll have 16 companies on a shortlist of as a shortlist of 400 candidates. We were kind of blasted this year by the startup who want to present, which is great, but it's also very tough to make the selection. And they are welcome from all around the world. It's the same. It doesn't have to be European either. We have a partner this year, is August Capital, a very famous VC, helping us making that selection because, you know, it's a big responsibility for us. And the last thing I want is, you know, that people to tell us, oh, but it's because it's your friend and so on. So we're actually not making the final call, the VCs, and that's good. I think it's a good thing. And so we have that, and what we provide them is a lot of visibility, of course, because it's 16, which have a dedicated room the first day, and then it's three of them, which will be the winners, and will present on the main stage on the keynote room in front of everybody the second day, and then we'll, of course, decide who won. But that's a great visibility, and if we don't, there are no cash prizes. There are generally the ones who present get funded or get a lot of press. We have 500 journalists, lots of bloggers, podcasters, so it's...
I was going to ask you, so last year there was one company that sort of caught my eye, which was Jolie Cloud. I don't think they actually won the startup competition, but they were one of the companies that were part of the group competing. And are there any companies, whether it be Jolie Cloud or I guess it's more properly pronounced Jolie Cloud, but any other companies that you see sort of breaking out of the pack and you think, oh, you know, we kind of gave them a shot?
Well, Jolie Cloud and my friend Tariq Krim were on the main stage because the startup competition is more here to let unknown entrepreneurs and unknown startups generally not funded present. And let us discover them, basically. Well, Tariq is a well-known entrepreneur, and he also is also funded already. So it doesn't really qualify, if you see what I mean, if you're funded or well-funded.
Right, it doesn't meet the requirement.
Yeah, you don't need that. The point is actually to help young entrepreneurs or, you know, like first-timers, you know, get exposure. So the ones which are already funded with millions, which was the case of Jolie Cloud last year, don't really need that, but I'm giving you know, plenary stage time to some of those, and you know, if I find, you know, even companies which are not scheduled on the program, I always, you know, do last minute announcements. So last year we had a Wi-Fi scale. I don't know if you remember me playing with that on stage. I was weighing on stage, and this is a French company which wasn't, you know, in the startup competition just because they launched after. But they launched at Loeb. That's the first time, like, really, that this product was seen. And they raised 3.5 million euros, so like nearly, what, 4.5 or $5 million dollars a month ago. And they launched at the web. So you see, I'm very happy about that, that we have a lot of new, and you know, the entrepreneur was not known, the company was not known. That's really the point, is to help. And all year long, I hear entrepreneurs who, I give you another example. We had also on stage Rent Keeper, and they're back together this year just because I like the story. But it's an iPhone app that helps you run. And at the web, they did a deal together, so they connected both applications. So now we have your weight in your Runkeeper, helps you do fitness, basically, and especially running, but not only. And now you see your weight coming from the Wi-Fi scale into the running app, so you can connect. As you know, I like running, so of course I love those topics. But the more you run, the more you see your weight going down and so on. And when I talked to these two entrepreneurs, they told me, yeah, this all happened at the web. We didn't know each other. And we made that partnership, and it's very successful. So, you know, it's about it being inspired. It's about there's a lot of business happening at the web, people doing partnerships, and it's all the web connecting together. I know some people come to the web just to network. They spend their time in the networking room. We have three rooms this year. We have a networking room, which is only about networking. So you can be noisy and talk. That's the point. We'll have screens streaming like last year. The conference, by the way, the conference is, again, live in video on the web.net for free. And last year we had 250,000 people watch it.
That was actually on Ustream last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ustream provides the... is a partner and provides the streaming technology. And behind the streaming technology that everybody's seeing, you also have the behind the scene, which one day I'll have to do that, or maybe, I don't know, have someone report on that, because there is what you see, which is the result of the image on Ustream, so they do the streaming, and there is what you don't see, which is we have a team of 10 people, which is really a live TV production crew, because we have, like, you know, a number of cameras in the room, they do live editing, and it's a huge work and a very big investment from us as well. And then there is a very large pipe coming to a conference, because with all those crazy geeks in the room, you need a big pipe. It took us a lot of years to figure it out, and now, I mean, we'll see this year, but last year I think was just perfect. We had a gigabyte of bandwidth guaranteed coming into the venue, which we'll have again this year. So there's a lot more than just Ustream, but Ustream is a big part of it and is a big partner of us. And
Meraki was, I think, part of your wireless solution as well, right? Did they help with some of the infrastructure to get the amount of internet connectivity needed to do the conference?
Yeah, we had them for the setup of a kiosk, which is very important, all those kiosks with a number of devices people have, and then British Telecom, BT, supervising everything again this year. And when you see them prepare that, it's crazy. I mean, it's like people don't realize, but it's like a team of 20 people just making sure the Wi-Fi will work. yeah. And So startup room, networking room. So you see, it's like it matches. Like, if you want to network, you can only do that. Some other people just come to learn, and they spend their time in the keynote room. And I think we have an amazing program this year. We'll talk about it if you like. Some people just go to the startup competition. So it's mostly business angels and VCs who basically want to invest and discover new companies. And then there are also workshops. So all our partners organize workshops, like Google and Microsoft and Nokia and BlackBerry. I mean, RIM. And so you see, like, I can't even name them all. So you can really do the web as you wish. But if you want to learn about the BlackBerry platform, you can do that too. And we have deep sessions about that. And some people spend their day at the Google workshop and learn everything about the Google platform and so on. So it's very, very rich. I don't even know what's happening. It's crazy now. I have already got like 10 emails with 10 dinners happening the day before the web. It's becoming we know what we organize, but we don't even know what's happening around it now.
I know there are so many sub-events happening that people are creating themselves. It's sort of like user-generated events. But I would love you to talk a little bit more of the theme of the event itself overall, and then how that breaks down into the main plenary sessions first, and then we can talk about some of the breakout sessions.
Yeah, we have so the main session, the theme is platforms, and I picked this theme just because everything is becoming a platform. So you have platforms for social networking, Twitter and Facebook, and so on. You have platforms for mobile apps, of course, so the App Store, the BlackBerry, Nokia, and of course Android. And Microsoft now, Windows Phone 7, these are all platforms. But then you have what I call the body platform, so the API. So what's a platform? Basically, it's an open architecture where you can build, where you can let people build things on top of you, basically, in my words. Mm-hmm. So you open yourself and people can start, creating things. And so I have this panel called the Body API, which I like because I think we'll start, creating things around our body. We even have a company doing a demo, or at least presenting a brain control computer. That's going to be fun.
Be fun. See who has the most mind power.
Exactly. That's it's Ariel Garten from Interaxon, and it's on the second day. It's the session is called Thought Controlled Computing, so I think it's going to be interesting. We have so that's a theme. The TV is becoming a platform with Google TV and so on. So it's going to be very exciting, and a lot of entrepreneurs and developers now in the room. So I think it's going to be a topic they like. The car is also a platform, so we actually have our opening keynote speech this year. I'm really happy because it's a Nissan Renault. So in the U.S., you would know him better as Nissan, but so it's the same company. And Carlos Ghosn is the chairman and CEO, so really, really big deal, and a visionary, really. So they just introduced, and we'll see them around at the web. A fully electric car, entirely electric, so no fuel at all. So we'll talk about your car as a platform and how we're going to go around without fuel. And a lot of content around energy. This year we have Bertrand Piccard, who is an adventurer and he's a pioneer. He's created the first solar plane. So you take off with that plane. Yeah, you take off with that plane. All the wings are full of solar panels, and it accumulates the solar energy during the day, and it can keep flying 24 hours a day nonstop just with the solar energy. So it's really amazing, and we'll have a demo of that. I mean, a demo. We'd love to fly with that, but we'll have a great move. Yeah. We'll have a movie, we will see a movie, and we'll have a pilot in the room. So it's going to be very exciting. But a lot around energy. We have Jack Hidery and Shai Agassi of Better Place. He's also taken as a goal to make the car industry becoming entirely electric and clean. And so a lot around that, changing the world, basically. And so we also have an amazing speaker, Mel Young, who is created the World Cup, the Homeless World Cup. I know that sounds interesting. And he's someone I've known from World Economic Forum in Davos for a few years. He's a social entrepreneur. And what he does is just amazing. He's organized a football walk up of homeless, and he gets a lot of them out of the street and into some of them even into professional clubs. So
that's so amazing.
It's amazing. It's totally amazing, and people don't know him enough in Europe. But you will be don't miss this session, because it will be very, very unusual. Then we have the usual too. We have, of course, Facebook, even Beard coming back, Jason Goldman of Twitter, the president of MySpace, Mike Jones. So Microsoft, Orange. So those are like the usual, but we want, so it's more like the state of the industry. So expect to hear the latest, of course. Marissa Mayer, we have the superpowers of Google this year. We have Marissa Mayer, who got engaged at the web, so that's why we don't change the dates of the web, because she got engaged and she's coming back every year. It's her engagement anniversary. So I can't change it.
Does whoever interviews her going to ask her if she was working while she was getting married? Because when you read her interview, she's talking about the constantly productive employee. And we joke, journalists and I will joke that, how is it that you're productive during certain events in your life, like your wedding? So I always wanted to ask her that question, not to be mean, just literally to ask that question. Was there anything that you did that day that was particularly productive? And I bet she has an answer that somehow she got something done that was very important.
Well, Marissa is always on, indeed, yes. She got married a week before, what I'm saying, 4 days after the web last year. So she was on stage at the web in Paris and got married in San Francisco 4 days after. So can you imagine?
Isn't that crazy?
that's crazy, because like you could have, I don't know, plane issue or, it is crazy indeed. But anyway, she's here. We also have Nikesh Arora, who is the number two of Google, who is going to be there. So really the Google superpowers will be with us, which we like, of course.
Of course. Do you find that Google is becoming, in terms of just industry trends, I work a lot with Microsoft, and in terms of one of my areas that I really enjoy, and actually one of the VCs that I love, I just think he really gets it, is David Sock, who's half English, half South African, and lives in Boston now. But he always talks about, all of the data that we have and pulling it into a single dashboard and what he would pay to find a solution that comes close to actually being usable, because there's so many different dashboards. And I recently spoke at a social media monitoring conference, and that seems to be the big thing, that there's data and people don't know what to do with it. So flash forward, I teach a lot of classes, different places, San Francisco State and online at Media Bistro, and I happen to have someone from the Iraqi Elections Commission who wants to fly me to Baghdad to help them understand Google Analytics. And I use Google Analytics just because it's free and everybody can use it, but just because they don't understand how to use data, which I think is really interesting and something that is kind of universal in a sense, because, we're all listening, we're all looking to see what's being said about our brand or the companies that we're working with. And I'm curious if you've seen or will have anyone participating on the sort of social media monitoring or listening front.
Well, you should try Sismic for sure. So there will be someone participating. It's going to be me. But I generally don't plug Sismic at the web. And those are two very different, of course, projects and companies and things we do. So
it's a different kind of thing than don't you think Sismic's different than sort of a Radian 6 or a Brand Watch or Visible Technologies?
Well,
it's a different kind of dashboard. So you know, it, the idea is, when I talked with David Salk, the VC, his idea is he's looking for an entrepreneur that brings all these dashboards together so that you have one dashboard that just pulls everything, whatever it is that you need, you define what that data set is, and you bring it in so that you can calculate ROI or whatever else, so return on participation if that's important, or word of mouth, that kind of thing.
That's exactly what I'm doing now with Sysmic, but I've not been very loud about it. But we have since we announced this partnership with Salesforce a couple of months ago.
Yes.
We're actually going full enterprise. So we're actually leaving. Of course, all the Sysmic products will remain free, but everything we're building from now on is exactly that. And I totally agree. Radiant 6 and RunWatch and others are more like monitoring tools, and we're more like engagement tools. And
yep.
I totally agree. We need them together. So I'm actually talking to them right now, and we are totally going, you know, into the social monitoring space more than into the end consumer social space. But anyway, we're talking about the web today, and I won't talk about that at the web. But that's where I'm going with Sysmic. Since you talked about it, I had to tell you. But we have a number of panels. We have Jeremiah Young, who is doing a keynote on the plenary stage this year. He was there already last year. We have 90%+ of the speakers who are new, but Jeremiah was, as expected, a hit last year. So we decided to have him again on the plenary. So we have him as enterprise content. We also have how to leverage social networking in your business panel with people from LinkedIn, from Ning, from European platforms, Yadeo, and also from Yammer. Around enterprise. So now that I'm going there myself, we might have more next year because I'll know more about it. But this year there is a little bit. I'm very careful with that because the audience is not very enterprise. So it's a very general conference. So I put some of it, but you know, we could do a week.
Absolutely.
I guess it works pretty well on a two-day format right now.
Well, and the thing is, you have to go, you know, you have to, you know, provide for your audience. You know, you were talking about all of the people behind the scenes that put together television, and I spent 15 years in television, but mostly on the digital side. On the web, you know, and when I say digital, I mean the web component, but my very first job, I learned how to tune in a satellite dish and all that kind of stuff. So it was really actually very cool for me on the last day I was still there and to watch you come out on stage with your team because, you all came out and I think there was, you know, graffiti, out, you know, not graffiti, but what do they call that, confetti being thrown out, and everybody was so excited and happy that they had gotten through everything successfully because it was a very well-done conference. And I think there's a certain production value in the kind of conference that Le Web is, if people don't already know or are considering going, that you really get this sort of broadcast quality type conference.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all my wife, Charlene, who is, as I said, she's working on it right now. But, yeah, we put a lot of efforts on the production. I don't know if you saw the stage. We noticed, of course, you saw the stage, but if you noticed the quality of the stage last year, the AV equipment and the quality of the gear we had, we could have had, you know, a Britney Spears concert in there. It's it's actually completely underutilized. Every year I feel bad about it because we could have someone sing on this stage and it would be perfect. It's an amazing gear that we have, and it costs a lot of money, but we try to, you know, people fly from all around the world, so we try to make it worth it, and in terms of production as well. This year, the room, the plenary room, will be much easier for the speakers. One of the things we didn't like about this room is the previous one last year was really nice, but the problem is it was super bright. If you remember, the ceiling
yeah,
are all
it was.
Transparent, right? And so it gives of course, all those beautiful pictures that I enjoy with all the crowd, you know, and it's all bright. But for the speakers, it's very difficult because the room doesn't concentrate much. You see what I mean? It's like it's bright. So here we'll go back in the dark this year. You'll see the stage very well. Also, it's a very very classy room with movie theater style type of very comfy seats. So it should be really nice. We're very excited to go back in that venue, and also there will be a lot of room to go around it.
So, you know, I always ask this question because I think it is a good way of people understanding whether it's a good conference for them to attend. But who is the typical person that you're trying to cater to? Because, I mean, that's something that I get asked about a lot because, obviously, we have a lot of listeners for this show, and people go, oh, well, you know, how do you figure out what questions to ask and, you know, at what level, you know, because I can go completely geeky on talking about social media monitoring, for example, or as we were just saying, or there's the really simple how do you do it kind of thing. So how do you find those topics in the middle? How do you find your mix?
Well, I'm trying to, again, most people actually love it because of the networking. I think it turned into an event where if you want to know what's happening in the industry, not only in Europe, you have to go. And then if you want to do partnerships, what people are telling me is that a ticket to the web is worth 2 weeks of traveling, you know, something. Because if you wanted to do all those meetings, and if you wanted to do all those partnerships, you would have to fly around the world, and just in Europe,
yeah,
around Europe.
Sure.
So I have many friends who tell me, look, I'm coming to the web just because I do, you know, 12 meetings from 12 countries, and that's great for my business, and I can, for example, roll out internationally, or I can get a distribution deal, or I can get money from a German VC, and I'm Spanish. You see what I mean? These kind of things happen. So if you're an entrepreneur, you want to go international, definitely a great place, great thing to do, to go to the web. If you, other reasons could be to get inspired. So you get, you know, a lot of ideas, and I know many entrepreneurs just come here to get ideas. And, you know, last year we have the founder of YouTube, Chad Early. All of those guys share with us, you know, great ideas. It's in Paris, of course. We give you a good reason to go to Paris. That's why you should go as well. And I hear that a lot. People tell me, you know, let's face it, people love Paris. And generally, let's face it too, people don't have a reason to go to Paris business-wise. So we give them a reason, they love it. We kind of move, you know, the center there for 2 days. So being inspired, networking, you know, raising money, exposure. And there is not only press for people who are on stage. There are tons of interviews, and you've been doing some, but interviews going on in the room itself. And I know all the participants get a lot of coverage with 500 journalists and bloggers and probably the most influential in the world. So, you know, it's like you can learn, like Phil Liebling, for example, of Evernote, the CEO of Evernote, who is coming to the keynote,
mm-hmm,
on how he built the Evernote success. I mean, Evernote is an amazing success, and we'll learn from that. There is a panel, by the way, this year I had a lot of fun doing, is how to get acquired. And right now we have a corp dev of Twitter, Jessica, and also of Microsoft, Friedman Landman, who will discuss what are the best ways to get acquired. You know, so that's kind of unusual as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's something that is, especially for, I think, anybody based in the U.S., more and more of a reality because the stock market is so awful. Interestingly, I think it'd be interesting to talk to more Australians because last year I noticed there wasn't that many Australians there. And like I said, their markets work very differently. And same thing with Singapore. A little bit,
yeah,
different, you know, because they're the base of so many different companies. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, some of Asia in the mix as well, because obviously that's going to impact who's watching and who's covering these different companies as well in a large way.
Yeah, and that's why we have also a panel in Asia organized by Benjamin Joff, who lives there, and he has people from China, from all around Asia. Asia has always been like not too present in those type of events, right? You see the Silicon Valley crowd, the U.S. crowd, Europeans, kind of connected, very well connected, tight links. Not too much Asia. They do their own events. They have their own agenda. And it's the same in other events. I go every year to the World Economic Forum, and it's not a huge Asian presence there. And same if you go to TED, it's the same at TED. You know, like the leading events in the world don't have that much of Asia. And we don't have that much of Asia either. So I'm trying to work on it. But it's difficult.
I was just going to say, so one of the things that people ask me about the most, because I crowdsource for my show, and of course, they asked, knowing that I was going to have you on this morning, was about the presence of women, because there wasn't a huge presence of women in the plenary sessions. Of course, Geraldine is working behind the scenes. Huh?
That's wrong. We had a huge women's presence last year.
Of people on the plenary stage. I'm just saying. The feedback I've received.
It's a recurring feedback, and whatever we do, it's a recurring feedback. But that's wrong. I'm sorry. Last year we had Queen Rania of Jordan, who I think is a woman. Marissa Mayer of Google, who I think is a woman. We had the Microsoft researcher Dana Boyd.
And you had the minister in Paris, who was fantastic. She was great.
Yes, Nathalie Kosciusko-Morizet, we're very lucky to have her as a minister of the internet, if I may say so. But yeah,
I don't know. For me, there was one point, because I sort of play devil's advocate and just try to listen to my listeners and check things out. But I remember when Michael Arrington interviewed Marissa Mayer, who's known for being so business-oriented, you know, in a very kind of traditionally male way, the first thing he did was he said he was going to butter her up by talking about her being in Glamour magazine. And, you know, at that point, a lot of people, even me, were like, what? You know, I mean, she's a lot more than a pretty face, and this is probably not the best time to bring up the Glamour magazine component. And where I think that some of the criticism comes from is just the sense that I think, well, there are people that have outright told me, I don't think that you can be a strong voice in Europe as a woman, which I think is interesting because you had a minister there, right? So, I mean, obviously she's a strong voice and she counts for a lot and she gets to decide who gets money and who doesn't and that sort of thing. So it's one of those nagging things, I would imagine, as someone who's, you know, a founder, a voice of the conference. Certainly, you have a woman putting the show together behind the scenes. Does that or any other, feedback or even criticism get to you? I mean, does it make you annoyed or angry ever?
I don't think that much about that. I'm working with a lot of women in technology daily, and I don't think we should make it that artificial. Like, I would hate a panel of women only, you know, like just because they are women. I think it's artificial. It's like those panels about Europe, right? I don't do those anymore. We had, you know, like, it's been years. We had a panel about Europe with European entrepreneurs talking about Europe and how can Europe, you know, compete with Silicon Valley. And I gave up. You know, it's gone. You won't find them anymore because I think it's we should move on. And I think it's the same here. Some just do it artificially, and I personally don't like it, but I don't know. It's just me. Now, I think we have a lot of women, but I don't know. Maybe I don't think enough about that. Maybe not. I don't know. My wife is a woman and she organizes the web, so she cares.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other components that, you know, people think about, it seems like, is, you know, of course, location. So talk a little bit about the location change this year, because as I understood it, the last year's conference was in what's called Little Africa, right? So maybe it's in the outskirts of the Little Africa area, but it's kind of its own little area in Paris. So there isn't much connectedness to the rest of the city, the typical parts of Paris that people think about.
Well, that's because the tourists only go to the Champs-Élysées and the Opera. What can I say?
I was staying near the Louvre,
generally tourists who say, I've been to France, they only go to Paris. And maybe Côte d'Azur or Provence, right? When they say, I've been to Paris, they've been between Champs-Élysées, Opera, and the Tour Eiffel, maybe Saint-Germain-des-Prés. And, yeah, it's not Paris. It's like, you know, I've just run today, I ran yesterday, the New York Marathon. And I did Bronx, like all the quarters where you don't go as a tourist either. And I can tell you there are some of them which were interesting as a runner to go through, and really amazing experience, because I was moving from more like a, you know, an area. Anyway, let's not get, you know, you see what I mean, extremely diverse. Here we go.
Yeah.
And we have the same in Paris. You know, you have Paris quarter, which are Asian dominated by culture, others which are more black, others which are more like Arabic, others. Paris is a big melting pot. But now, we don't choose by the location by where it is, in terms of cultural suburbs. We choose it by where can we have 2,500 people. And Paris is very packed as a city. Most conference centers don't hold more than 1,200 mm-hmm. people. It's not like in the U.S. where you can rent a hotel, and, you know, with a hotel comes a 1,500 people room or 2,000 people. It's very difficult in Paris. And the ones which are really in the center are huge and generally booked for 3 years. So it's very difficult. Oh, plus, by the way, they're like 500, 600,000 euros to book. So it's crazy. So we're coming back to the original place where the web was, which is near the Stade de France. It's just by the peripheric road. So technically, it's not in Paris, but it's like 200, you know, meters away from Paris on the other side of the peripheric road. And we'll have buses taking participants, shuttles to the metro, so it's going to be very easy to access. We never had any complaints when we were there in terms of location. It's also very convenient if you fly in or fly out the same day, because it's on the road of Charles de Gaulle. But, yeah, I would prefer telling you it's in the Louvre, for example, museum. But we can't.
Well, with the strikes that were going on last year, if they're continuing, maybe you could do a day in the Louvre, because, you know, there were so many days when striking workers, when I was there, just they weren't collecting any money to go in because they were on strike.
There is always a strike in Paris. So
of course,
if you decide by the strikes going on, you never go to Paris. What we know is generally in December, it's quieter because we're approaching Christmas and so on. So it should be fine. We never know, but it should be fine. The big strike crisis was 2 weeks ago, and that's over now. I'm in Paris right now, as you know, so it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not an issue. I mean, my father-in-law lives in Burgundy, and I remember the best time that I had was I was thinking about whether or not to go visit him, and I met two gentlemen who just looked really sour-faced. They're very down for, you know, the first day, and so I got to chatting to them because, you know, of course, I go to experience meeting new people that I haven't met before so I can get a better sense of what's happening in the world rather than me just sticking with my friends from Social Media Club or, you know, Violet Blue, who I know from when she used to work at the San Francisco Chronicle, et cetera. And so they were two gentlemen from the coast. And they were saying, oh, we left the sunshine and we came here to Paris. And they were complaining about Paris. And I said, it's so funny because I'm going to have to write a blog post about people complaining, you guys complain, because it was like both days of the conference, they came up to me and, oh, Jenny, you know, like, you know, what's happening? Have you decided if you're going to go to Burgundy and see your father-in-law and that sort of thing? And it was really funny because it was like a recurring theme, and it was really nice too because it was like we were kind of looking out for each other, and I knew what kind of opportunities they were looking for, so we were introducing each other to people, and I think in that way you can help make each other's experiences better because you might know people that others don't, and they might know people that you don't know.
Yeah. It's that we see entire groups coming now. So, as I said, probably more Japanese because there are more and more Japanese, and they come because there are friends of them there. So, yeah, there are groups, you know, there are like almost entire planes. If you take the San Francisco to Paris plane a few days before the conference, half of it is for the web. Maybe we should do a better deal with Air France or something, but yeah.
So, out of curiosity, so how full is the conference at the moment?
We are ahead of last year in terms of ticket sales, so we have about 1,250 already fully registered from 57 countries, and last year, at the same period of time, we were at less than that. I forgot exactly how many. But we're like a week or two in advance compared to last year because most people, as you know, take their tickets last minute. So we're still a good month ahead. So it's going to, I think I'm expecting it the same size as last year. So, yeah. I you know, it's not that we want to grow it either. We are ambitious, but not too much in terms of making it grow. It's really big already, so we want people, you know, who are coming very happy. And we took a lot of care this year into the organization. So I actually think we'll sold out. We'll probably start, you know, limiting the number soon at, you know, 2,000, 2,500. So I think it will be the same size as last year, exactly.
Last year was a great size. It was just enough size for you to be seeing different faces every day, but this small enough that you would then run into someone that you knew. So I had an intern there that was working that we always found each other. The first part of the first day, we were saying, okay, we'll meet up at lunchtime at a particular place, and then by the time, you know, that afternoon, we kept finding each other, you know, not... You don't
exactly.
Just run into them, but, you know, it's a really good size because it also means that you're potentially, if you've done your homework and you know who the people are that you want to talk to, you can catch them as they're walking down the hall and ask them if they have a free moment or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to do to bring information back, in my case, and capture it live and, you know, get that information out in real time. And that was one of the first experiences for me where I would do an interview and it would go out within seconds in real time. So I'd be getting feedback throughout the conference based on the interview that I had just done. And that was an interesting feedback loop constantly of then, oh, well, who else is there? Who else is there? And one of the questions that comes up, and we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask you about this. Is there ever a temptation to it? Because you mentioned the sound system earlier. Is there ever a temptation to bring some of the sort of celebrities who've gotten into the different tools? You know, you think of Ashton Kutcher and, you know, American celebrities, but there are a lot of European celebrities, of course, as well, and specifically French celebrities who, you know, have large Twitter followings and are very active. And Twitter is, of course, not the only place, but, you know, it's one of the ones people tend to know about. Any temptation to bring them on to see what their perspective is, if that would add any value in any way?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be careful both with celebrities and politicians, and I tried both, if I may say so. And yeah, we had, and nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's been an interesting experience. But if you look at the story of the web, the history of the web, we had Shimon Peres and President Sarkozy and Queen Rania.
I know, that was amazing.
You know, for Queen Rania being, I guess, in both a celebrity and politician kind of world. We had the designer Philip Stark. We had the well-known, famous author Paolo Coelho, that when he got out of the stage, I had to come and save him because he could not move anymore. He had, like, you don't see this too much at the web. He had 100 people around him, like, not letting him escape. And so I'm a little careful because I have learned that as I invite them. So Bertrand Piccard, by the way, who is behind that solar plane, is a huge celebrity here. He's very famous as a pioneer, you know, and you don't hear too much. Actually, it's his first public appearance in the social media space, and I got in. Yeah, Bertrand is actually a celebrity, and he doesn't make a living of his Solar Impulse, which basically is an organization trying to make the world a better place, and he generally gets paid fortunes to speak because he's, one, a celebrity, and two, he doesn't make a living from what he does. And he's coming to the web. It's very, very rare that we can have him, and it's going to be very intense. But my point is I'm trying to be very careful because it's a good, you know, like cocktail that I'm doing every year. And if I do too many politicians, people don't like it. So I'm very careful now. And I learned my way, even though, you know, Shimon Peres people loved and so on. And the Queen was great last year, I think. But like celebrities is the same. It's great. People will say, oh, you know, look at who we have this year. But at the same time, then you get a lot of criticism, you know, this is not the tech industry. So it's a good balance between your right brain and your left brain, where you have to. Yeah, I mean, we're not TED, for example, right? And we're not TED. We're not. I think the web has a unique recipe of being useful for entrepreneurs, and I think that's probably the most important. We're useful for entrepreneurs. We make them dream. We make them inspired. We help them do deals. We help them raise funding. We're useful. The web is really useful in transforming Europe and helping and larger than Europe. But we're not. Again, we're not TED, and I love TED. I've been to 6 TEDs in a row. I'm very, 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 I'm very lucky I can go there with my wife, Charlene. But if you put too much, celebrity / inspiration, you know, like Paolo Coelho, I had half of a room loved having Paolo here, and half of a room said, but why do we have Paolo here? So it's very difficult, very tricky for me. So what my solution is, like, I have some, but like, for example, the cars this year, right? Carlos Ghosn is actually also a world celebrity as a CEO. He's one of the most powerful companies on the planet, and he's very charismatic. But it's the same. We have some, but not too much. You see what I mean? Like 2 or 3. Now if you talk the LA sphere, I have invited Ashton Kutcher. We are friends. And he said he loves Paris, so he will come one day, but not this year. But I'm careful. That was my message. I'm trying to keep it, you know, at the core, it's a conference for technology, for entrepreneurs. It's really about helping. That's what we're about. I created it because I thought there was nothing like this helping us in Europe. And that's what my friends tell me, that the web has achieved that.
Well, I really admire the effort that you and especially Geraldine put into the event every year. I think it's a stunning event. It's definitely fills a void that TED is a different, very different kind of event, and, you know, certainly other events around the World Economic Forum and other events are just completely different. And I think this is a real celebration of entrepreneurship more than anything. And for that reason, I always, always enjoy going. I think if you work with a lot of different companies, you find companies have personalities and perspectives, and the more you can learn about different kinds around the world, the better you are at working with companies, or the better entrepreneur you become yourself. So I thank you for holding the conference, because it's not an easy thing to do, and I'm sure it's not a cheap thing to do either. You know, it does take a lot of not just money, but a lot of that, the time that we, you know, precious time that we can't get back. So thank you for doing that, and I want to let you get on with your evening.
Thank you, and thanks for having me, and I hope I see you, a lot of your listeners, in Paris, and yourself, of course.
Of course. Thank you so much, Loek. That's Loek Lemire. He's the founder of one of the major European conferences, LeWeb, which you can get more information at leweb.net. And, of course, I'll have more on my website later today. And just thrilled to have him on. Of course, he's behind Seismic as well. And if you don't know who he is, you need to know who he is, because he's an important person in the Internet space. So I want to thank each and every listener for tuning into the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. We hope you enjoyed the program, and if so, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio, or subscribe or rate us on iTunes. I want to hear from you, so please start tweeting or Facebooking in your questions to my Twitter handle, or Facebooking or emailing in now. You can get more information, of course, on the website and on Blog Talk Radio. As always, you can get everything at jenniferlindsay.com, so don't hesitate to head over there. Again, we'll have an archive of the show later on today, and as well the links to the important parts of the how to get connected with the conference a little later today. All right? And with that, have a wonderful week.